Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby! We have new rejoin music!
New music, yo!
It's from Gwen. Neither one of us know how to pronounce her last name, but she's very nice. She works in the office here. Wonderful person.
Gwen Heidinger.
Heidinger. This is unbelievable. She gave us a whole album that
you are so happy about this.
I am.
You've been asking for months for me to change the music.
The elevator music was just too much.
I was in high school when you were asking me to change the music, and we finally got it. And we got it internally. Gwen's music is great.
Gwen. It's Gwen, not Gwen. Gwen Heidinger.
I'm sorry. I was excited.
That's okay. I didn't know Heidinger. You didn't know Gwen.
Yes, I did.
No, you said Gwen.
It's my sinuses that are bothering me.
You and I really need some therapy. This has been a bad week for us arguing, but enough of that. Chris Hoke, Super Bowl champion, multi-time Super Bowl champion, might I add, is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, and there he is. He's also on 93.7
The
Fan on our YouTube channel. Hokey, I'm sorry to bog you down with our bickering here, myself and Limits.
Well, listen, you both just need to make up. Kiss and make up. Let's go. Gwen or Gwen, whatever it is, he's getting it close. It kind of reminds me of when I was playing and, you know, my first start and Coach Cower called me Chris Hokey. He thought my name was Chris Hokey, right? And somebody kind of just told me, listen, Coach, his name's Chris Hoke, not Hokey. And I just told everybody, listen, as long as he signs my checks, I'm cool. You can call me whatever you want.
Yeah, right? Signs your checks
call
and gets you in the game. Yeah.
That's it, brother.
Were there guys in your locker room that bickered even out of fun? Was there a pair like it used to be with the old?
There was always bickering. Larry Foote was always bickering with somebody. I mean, he was like the ultimate bickerer, right? He loved to argue with people, debate with people. I think his number one guy to debate with was Joey Porter, senior. Those guys would always kind of go back and forth. But it was always Larry Foote and somebody.
Yeah, we have that here, unfortunately. All right. You told Limits, and Limits is efforting this. Did Dulac have in his chat this week that – what did he have about Pickens? Huh? That's what I need to know right now.
It was on the bottom line.
What did it say? That's what I'm looking for here.
He said that he does not anticipate that the Steelers and George Pickens will have a contract done before next season.
So he would go into something his final that, year. Yeah. Okay, here it is. I don't think you'll see any Pickens extension handed out before the 25 season. What do you make of that, Hokie? What do you make of the whole Pickens situation here? It seems like other teams are baiting him into hurting the Steelers with silly plays.
Absolutely. There's a few things there with that. Well, first of all, it could be a ploy just to get him to stop with these antics, right? Listen, we're not going to extend you with all of this. You know, it's one thing to get a penalty during a play, a holding penalty or some kind of penalty. But when you have post-play penalties for foolish things, those are hard to stomach. And so, hey, let's stop with those sayings. Let's grow up. You're hurting the team. And so that could be some kind of strategy to work that. I don't know. But I think the Steelers just want to see that he was going to grow up. Because a lot of times with with guys that are super talented but have a tough time controlling their emotions or controlling their behavior. When you give them a lot of money, big time money, it just sets them off, and then it's tough to control those guys. And so I think that they're to want to see him really show that he's grown up. The other thing you talked about was the on-field antics. And listen, I think a lot of people will say this. I don't think I'm out of line by saying that it's got to stop. Those are hurting the team. Whether you think it was a bad call or not, whether you think it was a point or shooting a gun, the reality is the referees are watching George Pickens. And if it looks anything like it's out of line or borderline, going to be, you know, crossing the rules, they're going to throw the flag. And it's like anything, right? When you start to become a repetitive abuser of the rule and breaking the rule, breaker of the rule, they're going to watch you every time, and you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, man, I hear that. How common is that in football? And is it more common at different positions where guys are trying to bait you by verbally saying stuff and doing stuff? Did that happen along the
There's front, no question
the
about
lines?
It. Listen, there's no question about it. They know, teams know that George Pickens can't control his emotions. Now, the guy's a freakish talent. I mean, the guy might be the most talented receiver in the NFL. Let's be honest. The guy is absolutely talented. It is undebatable how good he is. The reality is he struggles to control his emotions, and he's got to get control of that. And players know, listen, if you rib him, if you talk trash to him, if you bait him, he's going to respond. And it's the old adage. You know this. The old adage is it's not the first guy, it's the second guy that gets the penalty, right? And so they know they can goad him into something. He's gonna respond, and he can't fall into that. He can't become that guy. Coach Tomlin always says, don't be the guy. He is the guy right now when it comes to being baited and getting personal foul penalties on sportsmanlike penalties.
So who talks to him? Do the captains talk to him? If you were in the locker room, you know, in your position, would you have had a word with him? Like, who does that?
It's different players. I think in this locker room, I bet you it's Russ Wilson, right? It seems like Broderick Jones has got his ear. Now, Broderick Jones is you know, I think he's matured a lot this season. I you watch his growth, and I think Coach Tomlin, again, showing his – just his great coaching ability to say, hey, I see this guy where he can go. And, yeah, you know, he's getting a lot of flack early in the season, but he's grown a lot. So you saw in the game, Broderick Jones bombed both on sportsmanlike penalties, getting in his ear, talking to him. But to me, it's a guy like Russ Wilson, who's a leader. You see that George Pickens really respects him. Coach Tomlin, he has a great way to relate to players. You see that in the Hard Knocks, right? And I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
You see how he's able to pull guys in, put his arm around them. These guys love him. He's just real with people. He is genuine, good and bad. He'll say things to people that you might not like, but at least you know where you stand with Coach Tomlin, and these guys respect him, and he has a good way of being able to communicate that. So I would say Coach Tomlin and Russ Wilson.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Super Bowl champ Chris Hoke with me via video. You can watch on YouTube. You can go right to our website, 937thefan.com. Get hooked up there and get a look at Hokie in his office there. Look at that. A little framed Hokie jersey right behind you. What else is in that
That's
office?
Right. I got that. I got that one picture over here on the side. You can't see it, of us all kneeling down the locker room praying before the AFC Championship game against the Patriots. You remember
yeah,
that one?
Yeah, yeah.
With Jerome and Troy and Coach Cower and all the guys, all the fellas. I got two Super Bowl trophies right here.
Ooh.
The replicas that we had from Super Bowl 40 and 43. And then somewhere in this room, I won't tell you where, are my Super Bowl rings.
Mm.
So it's out of camera.
We should do the show from your house one day, Hokie. I'd love to.
I'd love to have you at my house.
With a catered lunch, I think would be wonderful. Limits, are you in on that?
From Salem's.
100%.
From Salem's.
Exactly. From Salem's would be great. You mentioned Hard Knocks. I have an offbeat question for you because you also mentioned Broderick Jones. I thought one really funny moment there. They're in a huddle. It looked like a break in the action, and Russ said something, I think called a play, and then went into like a speech. And Broderick Jones speaks up, and he says, man, I love it when you give us the play and then go right into the inspirational speech. And everybody started cracking up, and Russell did too. How much? First of all, I thought that was a good sign with Broderick, that he seems relaxed. He seems like he's having fun now and seems to be playing better. But also, how many times during a game would you guys have little crack-ups, like humor happening during a game?
Oh, listen, you're talking about it's a break in the play, right? And so you have those moments, right? If it was in the huddle and they were calling the huddle and running to the line of scrimmage, I don't think it'd be time for that. But there was a break in the play, and it does show. It does show that he's not uptight, that he's playing loose, that he's having fun. They're winning. That makes you have a lot more fun. Listen, you can make mistakes and win, and it's easy to deal with your mistakes and go on. When you're losing and make mistakes, those things compound, and it's very, very difficult. So to me, it's great to see that and see that levity in those moments, meaning that they're confident and they're feeling good about themselves.
Who would crack you up on your team during the game?
Oh, gosh. You know, there were quite a few guys, but you know, one of those guys, it's just – one of the guys that talked, again, I go back to, you know, Larry Foote was a guy who talked a lot. Joey Porter talked a lot. Those guys were fun. A lot of the guys were quiet. Like James Ferry would say a little bit here and there, but he was more of a quiet guy. Casey didn't say much. Aaron Smith obviously didn't say much. I mean, the guys were just more, you know, Troy Polamalu wouldn't say much. Those are guys who were just more business guys. But you have guys now on this huddle that in the defensive huddle that talk to here with the Steelers. And I'm sure Joey Porter Jr. likes to talk a little bit. And say things, and it's fun to have that kind of that talk and that levity in the huddle.
Troy did have a playful side, though. I specifically remember you guys walking from the bubble back into your locker room, and he ran up behind you and jumped on your back. I don't know why I remember that, but I do.
No, and he always had fun. I mean, he would do things like, for example, like Chet Furman. Remember Cheddar? He was the guy that was kind of Cowher's right-hand guy, and he always had the horn. There's always a guy who's designated to blow the horn between periods.
Yeah.
Right? And so he was the guy that would blow the horn, and Troy would take some tape, and he'd put it up in a little ball, and he would try to stick that thing into the horn, right?
Yeah.
So when Chet would go to blow the horn, it wouldn't blow. And one time, and it was always this, Starkey, Cowher would look at his watch, and when the timer would roll down, he'd point. He would point to Chet, and then Chet would blow the horn. So Troy goes over and sticks this tape in the horn so the air wouldn't come out, the noise wouldn't come out. And BC, Bill Cowher, points over at Chet. Chet goes to blow the horn, and no sounds goes out. Hell's damn it, Chet, blow that horn! You know, and we were laughing so hard, you know, and that just shows Troy. I mean, Troy was always having a good time, a playful side. And people loved him for it. But on the field, he didn't talk much. He just played.
Speaking of all that, Hokie, one more quick question about prep work for these games. Is it helpful? Is it helpful to have, you know, they turn on the noise? It's simulated crowd noise during practice. Does that help? Is that useful? And then also, if the weather conditions, like if it happens to snow a little bit this week, Is it beneficial to take you guys outside and work in that, or more beneficial to get quality work in indoors?
Okay, so first of all, you're talking about the sound. Let's talk about the sound and working indoors and the weather. The sound, yes, because you have to learn how to communicate with signals, right? And if you're not, you don't simulate with the sound, Starkey, what happens is that you don't use your signals when you're talking, and then you get in the game and you're on the defense, so that the crowd, Steeler Nation, is loud and proud, and then the offense, you know, can't make their calls, but defensively it's tough, and then you don't use your signals during the week, you're going to struggle to communicate, you're going to have broken plays, they're going to have big plays, and it's going to turn into touchdowns. So you've got to be able to turn that, crank that up, and make sure that guys are communicating with hand signals. When you talk about the weather, here's the reality. It's tough to go outside when it's really, really cold and the ground is frozen, right? Because you go out there, you're paying these guys a lot of money. You need them to get to Sunday. And if a guy goes out there like a TJ Watt and he's coming off the edge and he plants on his outside foot and he overextends and pulls a groin, then you're in trouble. One of the things that I liked when I was playing is we'd go on the indoor, but then Coach Cowher would open up the big doors and he would turn on the fans and he'd blow all the cold air in. And so, you know, you've been in the indoor facility, Starkey, where on each end, you'd open up those big old garage doors and the wind would come flying through there and it would be freezing. It'd be sometimes colder in the indoor than it was outside. You want to have that because you want it to be a winning edge for you. You want the weather because you're a cold weather team. You want the weather to be something that benefits you, not the and not be a wash. Because it just if you practice in it, you have the ability to, okay, I can do this in the cold, and you can think in those elements and in those moments.
Back to Pickens. Once a guy shows that he's susceptible to being baited into things, does he normally change, Hokie? Will that come with maturity, or is that just a hope?
I you have to hope that he changes. Listen, he knows. He's been in the league 3 years. He knows right, what's right and what's wrong, what's going to get flagged, what's not going to get flagged. It's just doing it, right? Caring enough to not drop the ball on a defender, you know, not to do things. And understanding that the refs are watching you. They have their eyes on you every single play, post play. They're going to watch to see how you respond, and they're going to throw that flag. And I think they're doing that hoping that you'll just stop. You know, it's like in a game when people want to emphasize some kind of penalty, and so they throw the flag early, or there's some rough housing and late hit. They're going to throw the flag early to say, hey, we're not going to have that this game. So the hope is that you emphasize that. You throw a flag and say, hey, we're done, and this guy will move on and say, hey, they're going to call it tight this week. And not do these things, but he has not learned that yet.
Chris Hoke on the Fan Hotline. He's also on video here at 93.7thefan.com. Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Hokie, back to Broderick now. Is he playing well? Is he starting to look more like the guy that you expected him to be?
Yeah, I think he's playing well. I think he's doing a great job in the run game. He's getting great movement. He's not giving up a lot of in the passing game. He's not giving up the sacks that he did. He was not making those mistakes that he was making early. And I think you're just seeing confidence that's growing. You know, sometimes what happens, Starkey, is you have a couple bad plays, and even the great ones, even the great players, their confidence can wane a little bit. It can ebb and flow throughout a game. It can ebb and flow throughout a season. It can ebb and flow from year to year. I mean, look at the great kicker from Baltimore. Right. And so, I mean, the confidence is a really fragile thing. And if you can get that back, you can really shine. But if you lose your confidence, you know, you can really, really struggle. And I think Broderick Jones needed to get his confidence back. And Coach Tomlin was the perfect coach for him because he didn't waver. He believed in him and he made it clear. Listen, he's our right tackle. It's not going to change. Stop. Right. And he was very clear on that. And I think when you as a player, and I know this, when you have a head coach who not only you know privately expresses confidence in you, but then publicly to those that are criticizing you, he publicly expresses confidence in you. That goes a long way to helping you regain your confidence, and you're seeing his confidence grow each and every week. And he's playing good football right now.
Chris Hoke, brought to you by McVay Heating and Plumbing. All right, Tomlin was the star of Hard Knocks. He just was. I compared it, you know, they opened with the four coaches addressing their teams. Three of them sounded like typical football coaches. One guy sounded like a movie star. I mean, he's just compelling, Hokie. He can be sitting there eating Fritos and he's compelling. Pony said something to the effect like, if they don't win that game, then he's not the star. I don't know, man. I think he's just as compelling, win or lose. That doesn't mean I defend some of these recent years or things like Matt Canada, whatever. But Tomlin as a personality, us getting to see him behind the scenes, win or lose, is unbelievably compelling. He's just a compelling figure, Hokie. Do you agree?
There's a small number of people. Oh, yeah. There's a small number of people. I was one of those guys five, 6 years that was behind those doors with Coach Tomlin. And a lot of that stuff really, I mean, that he says, it's stuff that he continues to say. Maybe he says it a little differently, but those are the same messages and energy. And he's a great motivator and he's a great communicator. And he likes to repeat his messages over and over throughout the week. He has certain messages and themes for each week, and he'll continue to repeat those so they can beat in your head. Right. But he motivates you. You see on the video, you see TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, you see Cam Hayward. They're zoned in on what he has to say. Russ Wilson zoned in. These are guys that are veterans that you think, okay, maybe they got it. They know what they're doing, but they're zoned in on what Coach Tomlin wants to say and his message. And it's super compelling. I think it's great for everybody to see on the outside, what it's like on the inside, and how they prepare these players and us to play the game. But Coach Tomlin definitely stole the show. That is not just Hollywood. That is not just put together a film. He is a master communicator and motivator, and that's why you see the team always. You know, he never loses the team. These guys will play hard for him, and it's fun to watch it now for everybody.
Yeah, he stole the show just by being himself. And the theme of the week, or one of them, was Herbig going against Zeus. He just kept pounding that home that they had to go out and buy Zeus because the other guy got dog-walked by Alex Highsmith, Tomlin said.
Isn't that awesome?
And Herbig delivered, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he has three sacks in the last 3 weeks, sack a week. I mean, I was rewatching the film from the Browns game a couple weeks ago, and he had a sack fumble there. Right. And so he's delivering. And so I think the excitement about having all four rush guys out in the field this game is going to be compelling and exciting for the Steelers. But Nick Herbig absolutely delivered in the pass game and getting put pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, man. When I see that and I start to think, is it really realistic they could go to the Super Bowl? That's one of the things that makes me think it, because it's always been really a team centered, even with Ben. Centered around that, the guys on the edge. That seems to be where it all begins. Yeah. Now they have not only two, but three. I can't wait to see it either this week. I think that is just menacing to go in with three guys like that.
We can just keep coming, right? You can just keep bringing the heat, and the guy gets tired. The next guy comes in, you know he's going to keep bringing the heat. And so, really, you're never going to have a drop-off. And listen, I think the Steelers, you brought the Super Bowl. I think the Steelers are a team that, you know, that could win the Super Bowl. Listen, it's about the team that gets hot, right? And you know that it could be a handful of teams. I mean, the Steelers get in the playoffs, and all of a sudden they build heat. I mean, they're 3-1 since the bye against division games and tough games and the Redskins, who are a good team. So if they can continue on this trend and having their arrow point up like this, they have as good a shot at anybody when it comes January ball.
One other thing that stood out about Hard Knocks, you know, they didn't get really, I don't think, deep into any issues, but the footage was spectacular. And Cam Hayward just wrecking people. The one hit he had on Brown at the goal line was like Jadeveon Clowney
big
in
time.
College. Oh, my God. Is he playing the best football of his career?
He's moving great. He's playing great football. Listen, and that tackle, I think, thought he was going to block Cam on that. He tried to cut him from the backside, that left tackle. The defensive right off from the defensive side, it's the right tackle. He tried to cut off Cam, and Cam got a field so quickly. And just, I mean, he put that licking on Chase Brown. And another play, you know, not only the sack, but listen, there was one play when he was flying down the line, staying on his feet, the old fella. And he made this tackle. Chase Brown, if he didn't make the tackle, I think Chase Brown would have went for 10, 12 yards and just lit him up flying down the line. I mean, he's playing sideline to sideline. I think Cam's playing as good as he's played in a couple of years.
All right. Besides George Pickens, the other lightning rod from last week's game was Joey Porter Jr. Tomlin, I thought, had a very interesting sort of explanation for how they wanted to get physical with T. Higgins. Doesn't sound like he thought Porter played that badly, despite – I mean, if it was a basketball game, he would have fouled out. He had six penalties. What did you think of his game, and what do you think of his style and how it translates moving forward?
I think he's going to be okay. Listen, the guy's a competitor, and like Coach Tomlin talked about, it's a couple technical things that he's got to be better. He's big, he's long, he's fast, he's got the mindset. It's just cleaning up his hands. Everybody knew coming out of college, he loved to hold people. He loved to, he learned from his dad, right? He learned from guys, and he's been around guys that are friends with his dad that played DB in the NFL. And so he knows how to, you know, kind of do those veteran type of moves to slow down receivers. And sometimes he's going to get caught. The ones that were concerning were the ones that were in the end zone, right? He had two pass interferences in the end zone that put the ball on the 1 yard line first down. One time he panicked in the end zone and tackled T. Higgins, even though the ball was thrown over their head, because he was beat. And so those are moments where, you know, I always get in my head, Starkey, where Coach Mitchell I would sit next to Coach Mitch during film, and we'd watch those plays, and Mitch would say, don't panic, even though he's the D-line coach, you know, but he would see a DB. And it happens to the best of them, right? It's not just a guy like Joey Porter. I mean, there are guys that are veterans that at moments you're panicking because I don't want to give up this big touchdown catch. I'm beat on this play. And so you go ahead and you tackle or you hold a guy and end up putting the ball in the 1 yard line and score anyways.
All right, Hokie, we're going to talk more about this specific matchup coming up. I'll ask you one more question, though, as we go into a very brief intermission. And that is Dan Moore, who came back from a rough performance with a very good one. My question is simple. Would you at least consider trying to sign Dan Moore, keep Broderick where he is, and move Fatanu to guard because you're going to lose James Daniels? Would you consider that? Or do you like McCormick and you like it the way it is?
I like that a lot. I don't think – listen, I know that Myles Garrett – I know we're going to commercial break. We can talk about this more. I know Myles Garrett had 3 sacks last game. I don't think that – I think they get to put an asterisk next – two of them were on Dan Moore. But I think there's some things we can discuss as, you know, there were other things that played into that. It wasn't just one-on-one straight up that the sacks happened. And so I wouldn't say he had a horrible game. But if you look at just the stats, you would say yes. But I don't look at it that way after looking at the film again.
But that intrigues you, that idea, huh? Going after Moore, signing him for some money, and then moving Fatanu to guard. You seem to perk up on that, Hokie.
I do. I like it. I think Troy Fatanu can play a guard. I think he'd be a great guard. He's athletic enough. He can move well. Again, it doesn't matter what you and I think. It matters what Coach Tomlin thinks and Omar and those guys. But I think he has the athletic ability and the size and the mental makeup to do it.
Goodbye to you, my sweetest. This is unbelievable. Limits. That's Gwyn Gold. Gwyn Gold, that's her stage name. I'll call it. And now our relationship must end. It's broken now. This is our music from now on.
Thank you, Gwen.
What's Gwen's title in the office? Do you
Gwen
know?
Gwen Gold.
I know, that's her name. What's her title? What does she do?
Gosh.
Find out. I know she's a salesperson of some repute. That's okay, Limits.
Oh, don't. No, you should know that.
No, I shouldn't. I'm sorry, Hokie. We're wasting your time bickering again. How are you? Still good over there? Where's Hokie?
Well, why can't we hear Hokie?
What happened? Hokie, turn off the mute button. Hokie? Something's gone horribly.
Let me see if I can connect Hokie differently.
It's gone horribly wrong. We're going to talk about this cross-country trip that the Browns had to take on a short week, whether Hokie thinks that'll make any difference. Now, Hokie, you can see him is in a panic in his office limits.
Let's
now
get
he's
him
gone.
Off. Yeah, let's take
gone.
Him off the panic there.
And I want to ask him about how you deal with Myles Garrett, too, because whatever they did last game didn't work. And that's an understatement. I think T.J. Watt's going to be the star of this game myself. I don't care what anybody says. It's a team game, but there are individual rivalries within it, and this is one of them. And Myles Garrett outshone T.J. in a big way in that game, and I think the tables are going to turn here. Limitless wonder. Do you?
I agree. I think TJ will be a huge, huge factor in this game, at least 2 sacks. And like, what were they saying on Hard Knocks?
Mike Tomlin
was
4. When I'm serious. I think 4 sacks. 4 sacks and a 34-13 Steeler win. That's
Hokie's
what I'm
back.
Saying. Hokie, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Listen, that's a big prediction. I think that TJ Watt's going to show up in this game. Listen, and just the way – I think the way that Myles Garrett responded after the game in the post-game interview, to me, it's you never want to – it was a little disrespect to T.J. Watt. I know it was emotion, and I know he was excited with the kind of game he had and the kind of game that T.J. Watt had. But listen, man, T.J. Watt's an animal, and you don't want to, you know, fire that animal up any more than he already is. And I think T.J. Watt's going to have a game this week. And like I said before the break, Starkey, I think some of those sacks he got, I don't think it was just – I mean, it was actually – I don't think it was Dan Moore Jr.'s fault, per se, for every single one. So I think Dan Moore Jr. is going to be motivated to go out there and shut him down this game.
Well, what did they try to do in that game? It looked like a lot of chipping, some double teaming. I mean, what can they do to improve their performance against Miles? Anything?
Well, listen, the reality is this. Like, they got to be better on the chip. If you remember when he had his first sack, Dan Moore Jr. was in good position. I believe it was Jalen Warren came up and he chipped him. It wasn't a great chip. If you watch when teams chip or add into the and helping a tackle block TJ Watt, I mean, it's a physical, it's a slowdown. They're stopping the momentum of TJ Watt. With Myles Garrett, it wasn't a heavy chip. And when Jalen bumped Myles Garrett, it put him right on the outside hip of Dan Moore Jr. And so it put Dan Moore Jr. at a disadvantage right away. You've seen before in the past when running backs have come out and they've chipped TJ Watt, and the chip was a little heavy and it allowed him to get on the inside hip of a tackle, and it gave him prime position and a lane to the quarterback. That's what happened there. When he popped him, he put him on the outside hip of Dan Moore Jr. He couldn't recover and put him right on the track to the quarterback. The second one was just a great play. I mean, Russ Wilson, protect the football, right? Protect the football. I mean, step up in the pocket. There was an escape lane, and that wasn't on Dan Moore Jr. Dan Moore Jr. had him rushing upfield. It's just, if Russ would have protected the football, that wouldn't have been a sack fumble. And then the other one wasn't it wasn't even on Dan Moore Jr. It was on Zach Frazier. Great play. It was a stunt coming across the middle. Great hands out front for Myles Garrett. A nice little neck, knocked the hands down, put the foot and the feet in the ground, came around, had a sack. So I don't believe that was all Dan Moore Jr. I think it was just circumstance, and it'll be a much different game come Sunday at 1:00.
How do you deal with Jameis? What's sort of your mindset going in? Do you have to figure you're going to get some opportunities defensively that for some picks, right?
There's no question. This guy has the supreme confidence. He thinks that he's going to throw the ball and thread the needle on every single play. And he gets lucky sometimes and does thread the needle. And sometimes, as you saw in last game, 2 pick-sixes, 3 interceptions. He's going to give you the ball. So be patient, right? Play your technique. Don't take chances, right? Play your technique. Let your technique make plays for you. He will throw you the football. And so that's what you got to understand as the Steelers, right? It's just getting going out there and doing your job, and the ball will come to you because that's the kind of player he is. He'll make phenomenal throws, and then he'll make bad throws because he thinks he can put it in places where nobody else can, because that's how much confidence he has. And so just wait for your opportunities. They'll come.
Hokey, I think it's going to be a big Steeler win. I thought the game in Cleveland was basically the Browns Super Bowl. And I thought the Steelers win the game if they don't make the head-scratching decision to not have their starting quarterback in the game trying to seal it with a pass on 3rd and 4. So I predict a 34-13 Steeler win. How about you? What's the score going to be, and who's going to be the star of the game?
I think it's going to be a much closer game than that, Starkey. I really do. And listen, we talked about this. If I can go back to this, the games after the Steeler-Ravens game, right? The Steelers and the Ravens too. The Steelers struggle after playing the Ravens. And the Steelers played on a short week going to Cleveland where they already struggle. It was the cards were stacked against them. The football gods were against the Steelers in this one, and it played out that way. In this game coming up, I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. I think that that Nick Chubb's going to have a good game against the Steelers. It's gonna be a back and forth game, and the Steelers are gonna pull it off, I would say 24-20. But they're gonna win. TJ Watt is going to have a sack fumble in the fourth quarter that is gonna pull the Steelers ahead for good.
Very interesting. How would you sum up Russell Wilson's emergence here, as he's looking like, well, he's looking like the old Russell Wilson? What comes to mind as you watch him play, Hokey?
He makes all the throws, and he's doing a good job of orchestrating that offense, getting everybody lined up. But I just love how he's distributing the ball. You take away George Pickens, he's going to throw the ball to Skowronek. You're going to take away Freiermuth, he's going to throw it to the big fella, the big rig. Can you imagine Starkey being in the defensive backfield and trying to tackle Darnell Washington?
Oh,
I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, he'd break your face. mean, back when you play with leather helmets, I mean, he would literally break your face, right?
And that was Ron. So Ron actually did play.
I know. There's so many weapons on this offense, man. And Russ Wilson sees the field, and if they're taking away one guy, one weapon, he has the ability to go through his progressions, get the ball out, and he's not afraid to dump it, right? I think earlier when he was starting in the beginning, he was looking for that moon ball a little too much at times and where they struggled in halves. But now he's just taking that check down when the defense gives him the check down and not forcing the ball down the field. And if he continues to play this way, the Steelers are going to be very, very tough over the next month.
What happened to Mike Williams? I mean, it didn't matter last week. They had a million yards, but he hasn't been targeted once since his touchdown catch. What's going on there, and will he reemerge here?
Well, that touchdown catch was his only target of that game, right? And so I just think Coach Tomlin, he always says it's hard to get on a moving plane, a moving train. Right. And, you know, guys were moving, but he's there. I think he may get some play this week. You know, Calvin Austin, he's in the protocol. You know, I guess, you know, it was reported that he practiced yesterday. So we'll see what happens there. But at some point, they're going to need him. If they are going to go into the playoffs and go deep into the playoffs, so people think injuries happen and you're going to need depth. And so to have Mike Williams available is huge because he's a guy who can step in and allow them to, you know, if they need Calvin Austin to sit down this week, they can do that and not skip a beat.
I think this is a big game. Well, maybe not, now that I say that. I was just about to make a grand proclamation. But is T.J. Watt still a heavy favorite limits? Can you look that up? I know he's the favorite. Is he still a heavy favorite? He's tied with Max Crosby in tackles for loss, Hokie. He's got three passes defensed. He leads the league in forced fumbles. His sacks are a little bit down. I think he's well on track here for Defensive Player of the Year in spite of that, because even though, you know, he's not really on pace for one of those 19, 20 sack seasons, A, that could change in a hurry. B, he's only two off the lead.
Still the heavy favorite.
Okay.
Still the heavy favorite to be defensive MVP, you're saying?
Yeah, minus 250.
Defensive Player of the Year.
The thing is, you cannot deny that he's had a huge impact on many, many games. He's been the reason why the Steelers have won several games this year. Teams are doing a better job of not allowing him to take over games. Some teams have done it better than others. And I'll tell you what, it's tough as a defender when they're keying on you, when they're chipping on you, when they're blindsiding you to keep coming. And I think there were a couple games there when it wore on him a little bit, but he kept coming and you saw him respond with two sacks and a sack fumble. It created a takeaway for the Steelers. I still think that the story is being written. This guy is relentless. He's mentally tough. He's built for this. And so the story is going to crescendo as we head into the playoffs. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, that's a subplot to this game. Garrett is fourth in the odds right now. So he must be looking at this as, you know, his puncher's chance if he goes out and has some ridiculous game to move up. And I would imagine, I don't know, you know, that it's on TJ's mind so much, but he's got to know that a huge game would give him a step up here. And it's his award to lose.
I don't think he don't think he cares. I think he wants a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think TJ Watt, he's won the awards. Those awards are going to come as they win. I don't think he's focused on defensive MVP. I think he's focused on what can I do to help our team win. He just wants a Super Bowl ring. I mean, that's what, you know, Cam Hayward, Super Bowl ring. That's what these guys want right now. That's what would put a cherry on top of their career and an exclamation point on these careers. And so that's what he's focused on right now. If they go into the playoffs and they're winning, it's going to be because TJ Watt has a big part in that. As you saw, he was a big part of the Steelers' win against the Bengals. And so that's what I think he knows that process can happen. He doesn't lose sleep on the little things. He's focused on how he's going to help the Steelers win ball games.
Hokie, you're a wonderful man. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate you, brother. Hey, when are we going to sing Christmas carols?
We're going to cut an album here. Myself, Donnie Football, and Limits are doing
Pomp. Is Pomp going to be part of that?
Yeah, part-time Pomp, we call him.
He's got the best voice of everybody, doesn't he?
Speaks for itself.
I tell you what, that's like professional I mean, I tell you what, I'm surprised that he went into the TV studio and didn't go on to the stage.
Well, I'm being serious. I mean, he could make money as an Elvis impersonator. He's that talented. So, yes, of course.
You ever seen like his TikToks or his social media yes. posts when he's dancing?
In the middle of the field.
Yes, I have. He's going to, of course, be on the Malzy Christmas album. Best. And if you would do, like Donnie was going to do a dramatic reading of Twas the Night Before Christmas, perhaps that would be fit your niche a little more. Are you up for singing or a dramatic reading? Either one. Either
well,
one.
Sing, you and I do in a duet.
Okay. We'll fit Cookie into duet, a duet, perhaps. Okay?
Yeah. I mean, we got your Cookie on there as a special guest.
The 12 days appearance. The 12 days of Cookmas we could do?
Yeah.
Some... there is. Thank you, Hokie.
Oh, Cookie's the best. All right, guys. Have a great week.
See you. Very nice drop there. Limits. Cookie from up from the top rope there was unbelievable. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills. No, I didn't want that one. No more of that. The floating Ron head laughing. Where does that come from? Zangrilli from out of nowhere?
That's right.
How does that fit the theme here?
Because you love Ron and Ron loves you.
Oh, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South. I'd like to be where Ron is right now. I can tell you that.